When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome into the Fan Club.
Step one, we buy into this club. Step two, we roll over to the club, either in your Mercedes-Benz or my pre-owned Acura Legend.
It's not as much as a club as it is a couple middle-aged dudes in sweatshirts talking about sports.
Bounce, 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 bounce. Now all the ladies saying bounce, 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 bounce.
But you get the gist. Here's Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
All right, it is a Fan Club Friday here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. It's presented by Jay Rieger & Co. First off, what's the cocktail that we got working?
As we'll I'm making it. Sorry, okay. It's way more ingredients today. Swingin' Doors is the name of it.
Never heard of it.
So whiskey, Cafe Amaro, which is like a coffee-based liqueur, lemon juice, cinnamon syrup. Yeah, am I missing anything else? I think that's it. I'm looking at the recipe
All right, so
now.
You're gonna make those.
And I'll complete those.
We'll try that in just a bit. We've got a first-time guest into the Fan Club. We've got Taylor Burr from Fox 4 Sports joining us in studio. So welcome. Thanks for coming on the show.
Glad I could finally make it.
I know we've been trying for a bit, but you know, football season's busy.
I can't believe it's over. I don't think coming to Kansas City, I would have ever expected that it would be done this early, but. Here we are.
This was your first full football season. How long have you been back or been Kansas City?
So I got here in May, so I think we're going on 8 months. But yeah, this is my, well, I came from Gainesville covering the Gators, but this is the first pro football team I've worked with. So it's been fun to cover them. Obviously, like training camp to now, you get to know the players, and I was rooting for them so hard. So it's a shame, but I think this reset could be very good.
Yeah, what do you make of just where they're at heading into the offseason? Because everybody's trying to figure out, of course, what do they need to do? And maybe it changes based off of what Travis Kelce decides too. But what do you think is the main thing they have to accomplish this offseason?
See, it's funny because like from an outside perspective, you only know like the basics. But now that you cover the team, you realize there's just a web of, I don't want to say issues that kind of all interconnect. But definitely the offense, I think that, again, I would never want someone to get fired for a job, but I think that says a lot that Andy Reid fired their wide receiver coach. I think that is an issue this season that I think needs to be fixed. But yeah, I mean, obviously what you've been talking about all year, run game,
right,
pass rush. I would say wide receiver though is my biggest thing just because there were such high expectations going into the season for them. And I just think they weren't great, to be honest.
Yeah, wide receiver was clearly a problem for them, and that's what we're trying to figure out. You know, are you good with them, you know, taking a wide receiver at number nine or going through the free agency path? And we can get it to some of the decisions that they're going to have to make in a bit. But you mentioned you've been here for 8 months as Cody is getting ready now to hand out a drink or two. You have to work, though, right?
So I'm
tiny. I feel like a drink, that would not be good for me.
You're still working, so that's fine. No pressure. Do not feel like you have to have a drink with us.
So funny.
But 8 months in KC. So what do you make of Kansas City? Was there anything that's like surprised you?
I think it all surprised me, but I will say, like, looking back at it, coming from Gainesville, it's not a big city at all. Super small market. It was comfortable because I went to school there for 4 years, worked there 2 years after. So what is this called?
Yeah. What? Well, I don't remember. Swinging door.
You're gonna see me like
swinging door.
Look how fancy with the little peel on the
top.
So
Cody will tell, he used to be a bartender. So everything,
okay.
You know, the garnish and everything, he's not messing around.
I'll make my drink and Drew's drink here in a minute. Swinging door. So 1 ounce Rieger whiskey, 1 ounce Cafe Amaro.
It's really good.
Egg whites, cinnamon syrup, lemon juice. That's it. That's a cocktail.
It's good.
Never.
Not a whiskey drinker, but it's
But
good.
You don't really taste
but
much
But it's only
of
like,
whiskey.
It's not a lot of no, whiskey in the drink it's because sweet. It's like, it takes out, there's so many other ingredients
I know,
in
Rob's
it.
Always saying, you got to drink whiskey. And I'm like.
That's his thing.
You don't I'm have to like.
Do I look like a whiskey drinker to you, Rob?
What's your go-to drink?
It's really gross. It's probably from college, but I like a vodka water with lemon juice.
That's fine.
Simple.
That actually seems, it's like drinking any kind of flavored water like at a spa.
The key is the lemon juice. So I like the sour, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But this isn't bad.
This one's got some lemon juice. Well,
you can tell them if the drink sucks. You can just tell them.
No.
If it's not good, you can tell them that.
It looks so fancy.
Yeah, he he does a good job with the presentation on these.
He does.
We usually have pretty good cocktails on Friday. You mentioned Gainesville, so I'll ask you, does this mean you, so we were talking about the college football playoff semifinals last night, Miami. You're making a face right now. Do you hate Miami?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will say yes. I am not a Miami fan. I think I'm post-traumatic stress from when they came to UF when I was working there and just completely killed us. I was right by where all our recruits were, and at the end of the game, they were throwing up the U, and I was like, oh, this is horrible under Napier's era. But I was really rooting for Ole Miss. I got to support the SEC, and I think it would have been such a great story if they made it to the championship without Kiffin. So I was really, and I like Chambliss.
Trinidad is easy to root for,
yeah,
and
exactly.
I think we all were, the storyline you brought up with Lane Kiffin leaving makes it easy.
Been like, storybook.
I'll admit, though, those of us here in like Big 12 country now, I kind of like seeing the SEC struggle a little bit. Three straight misses, NCAA or no title game appearances, I should say.
It's wild. I mean, like, obviously, I'm a diehard Gator fan. I think everyone knows that. But I always thought SEC was like the best of the best, and I still think it is. But this year has been weird. Like, it was wide open for a while, and besides, like, maybe Ole Miss and. But yeah, I guess 3 years, not in the championship game, that says a lot. Things change all the time, football. So maybe the Big 12.
It's evening out a little bit, I feel like.
NIL,
if you don't make it 3 years in a row,
it.
It's like, that's got to be of note, especially for the SEC. They won every title for what felt like 10 or 15 straight years.
A lot of that's because of Saban, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Alabama's dominance.
He's doing some of the heavy lifting, certainly, there. But I mean, he wasn't the only person winning during
that
time.
Georgia for a while. I don't know. It's changing. Like I would say with basketball last year, college basketball, I feel like the SEC took a big step up, and it wasn't like that for a while. So,
you showed up in May. So you were covering Florida when they won the national title in basketball, then, right?
I was.
How was that?
I felt like a winner for once in my life. Like it was so. I can't even explain it to you. I think I was on live TV because we were doing live coverage the entire time. And when they won, I think I was like, oh my God, they won. Especially because every single game in the national championship, they were dogs, I guess you could say, and always had to play catch up. So, I mean, it was an insane team. Fortunately, not as great this year. We had Walter Clayton Jr. last year, Elijah Martin, and Will Richards. So it was insane. I felt like it was a good send-off to Kansas City, if that makes sense.
You got to go out with a championship, you feel like, that you were covering. That's true.
It feels like it's a bit of a weather shift, though. It's like you were talking about the city size. It's like we're in the middle of January here. I don't know that, like, I feel like that would have been the toughest adjustment.
Let me tell you, December 1st, when we had our first snow day, I was not prepared. Scariest thing driving in the snow, because I've never drove in snow before.
You said you grew up in Florida, too?
Moved there when I was 12. I did live in Connecticut before, so I do have some experience.
But not driving.
But certainly not driving.
Not driving. I call my dad on my way to work because I hear the car going like every time I'm braking. And then he's like, that's normal. Your car is not breaking down. I was like, okay.
It's nice though. Like,
I
laugh just because we grew up in it.
No.
So it's totally different.
Oh
so you're
my
not-
God. No, it was so scary. And like, I guess it was a pretty bad snow day because there were some people at my station that did get in some accidents, which isn't great, but took the back roads. You realize you can't. I've learned a lot from the one snow day. Not to talk about this, but
no, this is this.
No, it's the kind of stuff we like talking about on the show.
We talk sports plenty.
I learned
this
a lot
is good.
Of things. One, you got to double the time to get somewhere if it's snowing. Didn't know that. I was supposed to go to Lawrence that day, and I was like, you know what? That's probably not going to happen. We're not going to drive an hour to Lawrence in the snow for the first time. With ice, don't brake. You just kind of got to coast. So you got to
slam
really
on
slow.
Your brakes at the very least. Yes.
Oh my gosh! And windshield wiper fluid. Needs to be.
Did you run out?
Needs to be filled before you get out on the road.
It needs to be for snow, like an ice, which mine was not because I was from Florida.
Oh, so. You didn't have de-icer. You just had like, okay.
So it was a journey, but I think I've gotten pretty lucky. It's been like 66 degrees here the past 2 days. So
yeah, we haven't had real winter yet. Like you, when you even said snow day December, I was like, what day was that? I guess we did have a little bit.
December 1st.
A little bit, but we haven't had
the exact day.
we haven't had like the big snowstorm yet.
No, I don't think so.
I don't say that.
Well, I mean, do you want to be honest or just tell you that it's fine?
Be optimistic. It's not coming. It's not.
It might not this year. But
sure, don't lie to her.
But we don't know how long Taylor's going to live in Kansas City. If she's here for a few years, she's going to have to experience it at some point.
Hey, I was just down in Delray Beach for Christmas. I don't want to have this cold, all right? I don't want to have it.
He grew up in Indiana. He should be used to it. But he lived in Florida just long enough.
I lived in Pensacola for 2 years.
Okay.
So just long enough that he got a taste of, like, the good life. Of, you know, sunshine, rain, I guess.
Sunshine, blue skies. Lowest is, like, 60 degrees, and you've got a winter jacket on there. Not the same.
Winter jacket and 60 degrees.
I will say, though, Florida humidity cold is different than the dry cold here.
Okay.
I don't know how to explain it.
So we always hear about the humidity
and
with heat. Yeah, but you're saying in the wintertime.
It's cold there because of the humidity. Or maybe it's just because you're not layering as much because you're in Florida.
I think some of it's that. Both. And you're not used to it.
Exactly.
It's the same as, like, we get to the four seasons here. So the first 61 degree day in March, we're all like, oh, it's
shorts, shorts and t-shirts. Yeah.
I don't even need a jacket. It's perfect. Gosh. And then towards the end, the first like 68 degree day after it's been summer, you're like, oh, a little chilly. Might want like a light jacket or something today. And sometimes it's the season. It just catches you.
I know.
You,
it's funny. I post on Twitter mainly as a joke, but people take me so seriously. I'm like, oh, it's so cold outside, especially when I was covering high school football. And they're like, oh, just wait till February and January. And I'm like,
cool.
Lovely. Can't wait.
I guess, did you, so like when you came to Kansas City, what other things, like, we'd like to get to, you don't get to talk on television about your interests or who you are. They just make you say sports things. Absolutely. They give us complete freedom. What are, what are your hobbies and stuff? What kind of stuff do you do outside? Do you have those in sports TV? Your guys' hours are worse.
Our hours are crazy. I will say, like, it changes every day. So if you ask me, I would say more night side, though. A lot of the stuff happens later on in the day. Hobbies.
Do you like, you know,
I used to play soccer.
Play golf? Play soccer? Okay.
Haven't done that in a while. Actually, fun story, because I think you were at the...
Oh, the media game?
Media game. Yep. I was so ready for that game. I actually went out to the field and practiced a week before. I was ready to go.
Did you do the sporting one or the current one?
The current one. I didn't touch the ball once.
No?
Oh,
well,
no.
As you know,
get in the action.
As you know, there's like 30 of us on.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not 11 on 11 or anything like
but
that.
But love soccer. I like trying new food. Food's been good here so far. It's really good.
Going
Thai
to new
place.
Restaurants? Wait, where's a good Thai place? I don't feel like Kansas got a good enough Thai.
Oh my God. I'm like blanking on the name. It's like Thai Barami.
Where's it
in
at?
Downtown Crossroads.
Okay.
It's really good. For the record. And I've just been exploring new places. Honestly, I'm like, I don't know if you guys feel this, but coming from Florida, I'm like, I'm in the middle of Kansas right now. It's just wild to me. Like, middle of Missouri. Yeah. Like, I've never been in the Midwest before. So sometimes, like, I'll go drive and find new places. Like, I went to Weston. That was a really cute place in Missouri.
Yeah.
Cute shop.
Our afternoon host loves going to Weston. Yeah. I think he self-declared himself the mayor of Weston. Is that right?
He might as well be. Everybody knows
his
name.
No, they got wineries up there, and obviously this distillery, some other stuff.
And I made a good group of friends, so it's been nice. It's been a good transition so far. I do like Kansas City, though. It's like not too big, like I was telling you guys earlier, and you got cool metros around, so.
You're still talking about it like it's foreign to you. Like, this place seems nice.
8 months.
8 months. That's true. That is true. I guess just been busy.
Yeah,
there's always new parts of the city to explore, though.
Okay,
you know?
Make some suggestions to Taylor. We'll give him a few of them over on the text on 913-586-7965.
Someone echoing what you said about the Thai restaurant, by the way. Someone said that place is
so
awesome
good.
in the Crossroads.
I just feel like that's one of the food types that I feel like is better in other cities than here. So I'm open to better places. I'm getting Thai food tonight. Funny enough,
there you go. Fun fact: I'm quarter Asian.
Okay.
So my grandpa was born and raised in Thailand. So he came to visit me. And when we were here, we went there and he was like, this is better than in Thailand. So
well, that's a heck of an endorsement right there.
There's an endorsement.
Wow.
That's a hell of an endorsement.
That is a hell of an unpaid endorsement for that.
Okay.
That's impressive. Okay.
Yeah. That tells us something about that place for sure.
Check it out.
I mean, that speaks highly of it. You have my interest. At the very least.
Are you excited sorry, you mentioned soccer. So are you excited for the World Cup? That's new for all of us, whether you're
excited.
New to Kansas City or not. That's something none of us have ever experienced.
So excited. I mean, I grew up watching more the women's team growing up. Like, they were my idols for as long as I can remember. But even getting the guys here, it's going to be insane. Like, we're going to get a whole new crowd of fans that I don't think Kansas City's ever seen before. Because everywhere around the world, soccer's the biggest sport, except I would say the United States for the most part. But I think we have some pretty good matchups too, coming up. Portugal,
Messi. That's the last.
Can you imagine Messi versus Ronaldo?
There's a better than not chance. I mean, teams are favored to come out of those groups.
Would that be a quarterfinal? If that's
that'd be a quarterfinal. That's the only quarterfinal game that Kansas City would get. But they would get Messi and Ronaldo against each other. And what will be Messi's final?
If he does decide to play,
World Cup. And again, he hasn't decided to play yet.
Is the thought that he's going to? Do you follow that?
Not heavily. Okay. I would say
there seems to be a lot of murkiness with it. I don't think people are sure.
I mean, honestly, from what I've read, doesn't see you don't hear too much about it. I would love for him to come play one more time, but I feel like the last World Cup, it kind of felt like it was his last. So I don't know. We'll have to see.
It's just got to be tempting when you only have so much high level play left in you.
Yeah.
Because he knows that he can't do it after this one. Like this would be.
Yeah, How old is he?
He's in his late 30s, early 40s. I think in late 30s. But like it's
38. He'll be 39 in end of June. So yeah, it's
especially when it's his last run. Depending on the sport, sometimes you can go a little bit longer than that. But typically in soccer, because you rely so much on like speed and agility, it's not all just skill. Yeah. You can't just like slow down and like outmaneuver people. I mean, if you go to the MLS and you're Messi, you can, because you're just better than everybody you're playing against. But that's slightly different, I think, at least on that end. He mentioned, I think when I was walking to the studio, you were disappointed the Chiefs obviously season ended early. What did you make about, I guess, from an outsider's perspective on the Chiefs? Do you view it the same way, I guess, we do, which is like the chumminess of the, hey, do they need some outside thinkers? Is everything too close? Like, do you feel the same way about them needing to do it? Because from the outside, you saw them for a while just have success, success, success.
Right.
So for the first time having a hard year, I think fans were quicker to turn on the org than I was thinking they would be.
Yeah, I mean, when you made to the Super Bowl 5 out of the last 6 years and people are saying fire head coach, I'm like, you guys are crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For any other sport, we'd be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I will say, like, when you do make it to the Super Bowl as much as they do, a lot of flaws do get covered, right? There were a lot of flaws that got exposed this year, but I think this reset will be good. But I don't know. Obviously, it was a disappointing year, but I think it needed to happen. Like they say, NFL stands for not for long. So I think I'm on the bandwagon of getting someone outside Andy Reid's coaching tree to come and bring new ideas to evolve the offense a little bit more. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's something that's necessary. I don't know if I have much faith that they won't just
bring
in Mike Kafka or bring back EB, but Cliff Kingsbury is intriguing. You know, I think everybody would love Mike McDaniel, but I just don't see that happening.
I just feel like EB would be like the least exciting hire they could make for this. They have had essentially just two offensive coordinators in almost the entire time Andy Reid's been the coach. I pointed out before, I understand they had Doug Peterson before. Doug Peterson has taken an NFL job, won a Super Bowl, got fired from that NFL job, taken a different NFL job, and been fired from that one in the amount of time that Matt Nagy and Eric Bieniemy have been the offensive coordinators for this team. They have not had someone outside the organization in the OC role in forever. And he knew Peterson from his Philly days, too. So it's not like that was outside Andy Reid. But I just mean outside of this group. In a weird way, even if it was a guy that Andy had some connection to, I would forgive it a little bit, but EB, it's like, that's just bringing back the same stuff.
So I'm actually curious, from an outside perspective, when you look, because again, I wasn't following the Chiefs as heavy during
back
that
then,
time
yeah.
when he was with the Chiefs. You look at his stats and you're like, oh my God, the offense was so good under him.
Better players. Good offensive line, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce was 3, 4, 5 years younger.
I'm not saying he's my first pick. Obviously, his stints at Washington, right, and UCLA weren't the best.
No, but that also, like, this also just points to, like, coaching isn't always about coaching. Sometimes
That's
it's
true.
About situation. Like, I'm a big believer in Mike McDaniel and think he should be another head coach. It's not like it went great in Miami. I think sometimes situation.
But all the great things everybody says.
Like that doesn't matter.
All the great things everybody says about Mike McDaniel, it all sounds like, well, that would make a great offensive coordinator, not a head coach. Like,
you anytime could you describe Matt Nagy before he left Kansas City that way. If
right.
you ignored these last
Because everybody,
2 years.
When you say, what do you think of Mike McDaniel? They'll say, oh, great offensive mind. Seems like, you know, he comes from Kyle Shanahan's tree. And it sounds like he'd be a great offensive coordinator.
Yeah. No,
you know,
that's more than fair.
And so that's what's interesting. To answer your question that you were asking, just like the difference, I think it's not as simple. People want to simplify.
Just bring it
back. Was better with EB, worse with Matt Nagy. End of story. And I think that leaves out so much. You mentioned, Cody, you know, better players. Sure. I think the league has shifted.
That's
how
true.
The team's value running backs has shifted. How they, you know, how they play the Chiefs has shifted. The Chiefs, wide receiver room sounds good. I don't think Patrick Mahomes can play the exact same way he was playing 3 or 4 years ago.
If you applied anything that myopic to a view of life, just say like an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend, and you were like, well, my life was better. My job was better. Everything was better when I was with them. Like, that not because of them. Like, there were other things and circumstances surrounding your life. It's not just that if other things happen to be going well in your life the last time you were with them. There's also the blindness of people forget, and you weren't around for this. So.
Right.
People were ready to run EB out of town.
That's
when
what
he
I've
here.
Heard.
Yeah. So, like, to pretend now that it's like EB coming back will solve it all, fans were running him out of town then. They were happy that Eric Bieniemy was going to take another opportunity. They were ready for a change of pace and a new voice. And like, so like some of this is just, you're having false memories about what that relationship was. You're saying boyfriend and girlfriend thing. You're looking back on that. You just remember the good times and not the actual reasons why you broke up or anything else that happened in between. They're just
that's
pretending.
A good analogy.
They're just pretending to ignore the actual things that took place. Cause Gold, we were doing radio. They were happy to see EB go.
For sure. Yeah, but here we are. I mean, it is the most important offseason, though, that
it
they've
is
had
the most important
for this
off-season.
Entire regime. I mean, that's I what like kind of makes it a little exciting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is Beach's most important offseason, I would say. I like Kingsbury, though. I think a lot of people would agree with that. I think he brings that. Well, one, he's good at adapting with quarterbacks. We've seen it with Kyler Murray and Daniels, right?
Yeah.
And worked with Mahomes last 2 years at Texas Tech. Now, I know college is completely different than the NFL, but if Mahomes trusts him, maybe he'll advocate for him. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, we had Nate Taylor on, and he was saying that like if Mahomes wants Cliff Kingsbury, then it's kind of got to be Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what Mahomes
will
say,
him.
Though.
I think he's innovative, creative. I think he'd bring a new like flavor to the offense, maybe help it evolve.
He runs some similar schemes. They run some stuff
that's
from Tech that he likes, but that's also okay. They're not going to change the offense. They're not going to become a power gap run team tomorrow.
Right.
They still have Patrick Mahomes. They're going to run the offense. And so like, and I just completely disagree with anybody. And we talked about this earlier with Briscoe and in the show, there are some people who are like, no, that's just doing the same thing. That's the same as bringing EB. I'm like, he's never coached with Andy. They have no connection. His connection was Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Not with the coaching staff and Andy Reid. So like, I view it as a completely different thought and person, I guess.
We've got Taylor Burr from Fox 4 Sports hanging out with us here on a Fan Club Friday presented by Jay Rieger & Co. NFL weekend wild card. Are you locked in or not? AFC, NFC. I think everybody's focused on Buffalo and Jacksonville, but what's the game or the storyline that stands out the most for you?
So my dad was born and raised in Pittsburgh. So before I came here, I am a diehard Steelers fan.
Okay.
So your squad's in it this weekend.
That game against
that
the
awesome.
Ravens.
Awesome.
We needed a win like that. Steeler Nation did. Let me tell you, I was my whole family was screaming when he missed the extra or the field goal to win the game. Aaron Rodgers' last run. Maybe I'm just optimistic, taking the dog over the Texans, but let's go Steelers.
We picked it. So I think, Cody, you have the Texans winning. I have the Steelers.
I changed. I originally had the Steelers. Too many people on the Steelers. I don't feel good about it anymore, so I shifted yesterday.
Let me tell you, though.
I have the Steelers. Drew has the Steelers winning.
I get the Texans have the number one defense, and if it weren't the Steelers, I could see them making it to the Super Bowl, which might be a hot take, but I don't know. Remember when the Chiefs played the Texans? Just blitzed Stroud, and he was horrible that game.
Yeah.
And the Steelers' defense isn't bad either.
And TJ Watt's back and healthy.
And we got DK Metcalf. I will say, though, the Steelers have struggled against good defensive teams this year and have only won games against good offensive teams. So
I worry Rodgers, even as quick as he gets rid of the ball, is going to have problems back there.
He will.
Like, if they 100%. Don't get people open early, that's why I think it's going to be a slugfest. I could be wrong, but
yeah, I told you, I think higher
scoring,
actually. Really? The Texans' defense, it's obviously very good, but they gave up 30 to the Colts last week to Riley Leonard. So
ooh,
I don't know.
Week.
His first start.
Sometimes those first starts, though, you know, maybe it's just like when the Royals have to face some rookie pitcher and he strikes out 12 or whatever. Who do you like in the other two games? Do you like Jags or Buffalo?
I know everyone's saying Jags just because they're hot right now, but I'm going to say Bills.
You're on the Bills.
Yeah,
just
I'm
because
like Allen.
Josh Allen over Trevor Lawrence.
Is this?
I think Josh
is
Allen.
Is there a bias because Trevor Lawrence, you know, played at a different, not an SEC school.
He was Clemson. That was Clemson.
Yeah. I didn't know. You just kind of
just Clem. No, I've got nothing against the Jags. I just don't see them beating the Bills. And I think if the Bills don't win the AFC this year, that there's a lot of conversation there. Regarding
big time.
Their,
it's a huge legacy changer for Josh Allen. If he wins, then it keeps it going.
If they lose in the first round, that is a devastating
right. Especially
blow.
Especially without Burrow, Mahomes, and
exactly.
Lamar.
Exactly. We had a guest on from Buffalo yesterday, right? Yeah, Mike Shope from WGR 550. And he was saying he doesn't think Sean McDermott would get fired because
really?
That's the discussion. He thinks that their GM would, though, because you go back and look at some of their drafts and the misses. They haven't really
Keon Coleman's
effectively
a total bust. He's not even playing.
Addressed wide receiver for Josh Allen. And yeah, Keon Coleman's going to be inactive tomorrow or Sunday.
He did find James Cook, in fairness, who is
James
the
Cook.
Second most important player on the entire team to Josh Allen. So it's not like it's been talentless, but this is just one of those things. If you never win a Super Bowl and then you lose in the first round, somebody's head has to roll. It's not going to be Josh Allen's, so start the list, I guess, somewhere after that. What was the other AFC game that we didn't cover?
Chargers.
Chargers, Patriots.
I think we all just assume the Patriots are going to win. The Chargers are too hurt.
Yeah, Drake May is good. But I think it's actually a really good matchup when you think about it. When you think Pats are inexperienced and then you're going against the Chargers defense. Also, I don't think the pass D-line for the Pats is that great, so I don't think you're going to get as much pressure on Justin Herbert, which could make things interesting.
But he's like the most pressured quarterback in the second half of the season because their offensive line is hurt.
That's just going for the underdogs. I think the Pats probably will win because Drake May's been
He's been great.
So.
The only question for the reason why I don't know if I can pick the Chargers and I picked the Patriots is the injuries. Like it's
not.
I actually think Justin Herbert will be just fine in the game.
Yeah,
but what is he supposed to do when you mentioned the O-line injuries and some of the other injuries that exist on the staff and Mike Vrabel? Not that Harbaugh's not experienced, but coaching wise, I don't know, is it a toss up for you? Slight edge to Mike Vrabel? I mean, it's not like the Chargers are getting a coaching edge in my opinion. In this
I think
game.
It's a wash.
Yeah,
I wouldn't give a slight edge one way or the other. Like, look, we like Vrabel, and because he's taken this Patriots team as far as he is, we've juiced him up even more. He went to an AFC title game with the Titans, so I don't want to just dismiss his time there. But it also fell on hard times when the roster wasn't very good. So Harbaugh's won everywhere he's been. Like, I can't deny that. He's won in the NFL. He's won in college. Like, he's won everywhere. The NFL the first time. So probably a wash, I think, in the coaching department. I would give, God, the Herbert May one is just... You've never seen May fail because it's only been 2 years.
I will say, I think Herbert does need a playoff win, though.
He does.
He's 0-2,
no question.
Right?
Yeah, and he's not looked good.
No. He gave up a huge lead to Trevor Lawrence and the Jags 2 years ago. And so, like, they've still got a problem with that. So, yeah, I agree, Gold.
NFC side, who's your pick to come out of the NFC and the AFC to get to Santa Clara for the Super Bowl before we let you go?
I like the Seahawks. I think everyone's kind of on the same boat with that. I haven't heard anyone against that, to be honest. And then AFC is just so wide open. I would say if Texans beat the Steelers, I would say Texans.
Okay, interesting. And then if the Steelers win, do you think it's the
Let's
Jags?
Let's go Steelers
Bills?
All the way.
You're going with the Steelers. That would be in a year where there's no Mahomes, Burrow, or Lamar, and all of a sudden.
Rodgers' last run. Can't write a better
NFL
script.
Are we sure
NFL
he's not
script?
Just coming back? I mean, if he wins a Super Bowl, he's not coming back, but...
Right.
I don't know. I think this is his last year. I think he said it twice. I don't know.
Did he say it out loud? Or is it just one of those, like,
maybe this
sounds
is just
like
a...
That?
You think he's done, though. That's
he's
what
done.
It sounds like,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You think he's done. Well, wild card weekend. Great weekend of sports. Taylor, good to have you in studio.
Thank you for having me. Nice to have
you on the show. Taylor Burr from Fox 4 Sports joining us here on a Fan Club Friday. We'll keep talking a little bit about wild card weekend, some final thoughts there, and back into the Royals briefly, and the latest on the arbitration hearings for Vinny Pasquantino, as well as Chris Bubich. That's right here on 96.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Five the Fan.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with our great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
All right, number one on what's trending, as we were just discussing with Taylor, AFC, NFC wild card weekend gets going tomorrow. So at 3:30, Rams, Panthers, Rams, big favorites in that one, 10.5-point favorites. Then at night, you got, I think it's on Amazon Prime, isn't it? 7 o'clock kickoff,
yeah.
Packers, Bears. I'm sure it's going to be an incredible atmosphere there at Soldier Field, where the Packers are 1.5-point favorites. Then on Sunday, we get three games. Noon kick in Jacksonville. Bills, slight favorites, 1.5 points. Niners, Eagles at 3:30. Eagles, 4.5-point favorites. Sunday night, that'll be Chargers, Patriots, where the Patriots are 3.5-point favorites. Then we got to wait till Monday night for the Steelers, who are 3-point home dogs. They're the... other than the Panthers, are the only home... I guess the Jags are slight dogs. I was going to say, we actually have a couple home dogs, but the Steelers, other than the Panthers, the
three
biggest...
Three out of six matchups.
Home dog, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Next up on Watch, training local college hoops this weekend. Kansas will head to West Virginia. Kansas State will head to Arizona State, and then they'll make it a three-team road trip, I guess. Missouri will head to Ole Miss. for all three. Obviously, Kansas State coming off that loss to Arizona, but Missouri and Kansas both coming off of come-from-behind victories against good opponents. So, good weekend for them, or good earlier in the week part for them, see if they can get the wins this weekend.
Elsewhere, just some broadcast news today. We found out that, much to Cody's chagrin, Al Michaels coming back.
You were legitimately not happy.
He was mad.
Actually.
Al Michaels is a legend. Cody's been hating on older people here all week long.
Yeah, you know what? Dr. James Andrews was a legend too. Let him fix your, you know, your torn up.
Al Michaels is calling football. Anyway, he announced that he's going to come back for another season. He's 82 years old. He'll be on Amazon Prime Thursday Night Football next year.
We take driver's licenses away from old people, but we'll just let him call football games forever, even if they're not good at it.
There's
90 year olds that are still driving.
Did you spend your entire like week and a half break with just elderly people, and you're fed up with it? Is that what this is?
I'm just saying we don't have to forgive poor quality play-by-play, which is what Al Michaels have been given. Next up on What's Trending, college football playoff semifinals. Obviously, Miami advancing over Ole Miss last night. Indiana versus Oregon tonight. So we'll get number one versus number three. No, four.
Five.
Oh, five. That's right. Five. In the college football playoff seeding, they'll take on each other. Indiana currently a 3.5-point favorite.
Let's hope we get another banger like last night. Let's just hope for that.
Last night was ugly for a while, and I was a little worried Miami was going to run away with it because they were the superior team for a good chunk of the night. Shambliss was really careless with the ball, and then it just kind of locked in. He started playing good football, and that thing went back and forth at the end. It was fun. It was definitely fun. That's what's trending here on Cody and Go.
Yes, it is. 913-586-7965.
Again, how do you like your swinging door?
Fan Club Friday brought to you by Jay Rieger and Co.
I'm already done.
Swinging door. That's a unique name.
I'm already done, man. That drink is great.
I find this cocktail delightful.
Drew, very good.
Drew had his quickly.
Whiskey?
After wearing a Hooters outfit the entire show.
That was not the reason exactly why I downed it, if you will. But, I mean, that was I almost couldn't put it down. I was like, it's really good.
Yeah. 1 ounce whiskey.
Yep.
1 ounce Cafe Amaro, which is their like coffee liqueur, cinnamon syrup, lemon juice, and egg whites.
Someone says,
wait,
Drew.
Wait, really?
There's an egg white in this, Drew.
It adds a little froth.
Yeah, it adds like kind of like a texture. Yeah,
I wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah, it doesn't. You're not gonna taste. It's not gonna taste like you're drinking an egg.
I
see the text that you're laughing at.
Top text: Drew's wearing a Hooters outfit from losing his bet. And remember, he changed out of it. He's not wearing it anymore. He lost the bet.
I feel like my
at 12:45, the bet was paid off, so he's not wearing the Hooters outfit anymore, the crop top and the short shorts. But they said Drew's wearing a Hooters outfit, but weirdly, it's Cody's with his panties in a bunch.
Oh, get out of here. The hell?
You almost spit your drink.
By the way, I want to make this clear for you.
Oh, I had to decide, did I want to read the text or not?
Alex also doesn't think Al Michaels does a good job. He'll just let him do the job forever.
That's because you're a curmudgeon when it comes to it.
I said that
though,
Al Michaels has slipped and that he misses some things, and I agree that he's not great. You, though, are just putting it on all week long. Anybody over the age of like 70.
Cody's take is
like,
consistent. At
like
least
the
you're
old
consistent
variety
with it.
Show, like the giant cane hook.
Lee Corso, Dick Vitale, you've had the same take for both of them.
But here's the thing. Like, we all know at the end, like it did feel like, it felt like geriatric care with Lee Corso. Like it was uncomfortable. And I guess for this case, it's like, it's not uncomfortable yet with Al Michaels, but I hope it isn't next year.
I think that especially with Lee Corso, and I don't know if it was the relationship with Kirk Herbstreit, but I think in general, and Al Michaels, I think, is a part of it. And I don't feel as much the same about Al Michaels as I did with Lee Corso or Dickie V, but there's like a comfort level to it where you see Lee Corso on game day and it makes you feel good. It makes you, you know, even though it's not quite what it used to be, it still makes it feel like the Saturdays that we had growing up and Lee Corso was putting on the mascot head and everything like that. It felt like it was comfort. It was comforting.
And for Al Michaels, that certainly is like of a generation. He called some of the biggest and has called some of the biggest things on the planet.
Yeah, period.
So there's no doubt about it. It also maybe seems a little bit weird that Kirk Herbstreit keeps getting paired with the people who are like at the tail end of their careers. Is he just like a gentle soul?
Kirk Herbstreit is one of, I mean, he's in his 50s, so you can't even say like young voices, but like he's one of the best in the business, period, right now.
In sports media,
I mean, Kirk Herbstreit is one of the biggest names. He's very, very good at what he does. I agree with you. He's better at college than NFL. I would not disagree there. But I don't think he's terrible on the NFL broadcast.
I also don't think he's taking care of Al Michaels.
You're using the Lee Corso thing, like where he was truly like helping him. Yeah. I don't think Al Michaels is not to that extent. Thank goodness yet.
But I fear.
Didn't the story come out that Al Michaels always gets a steak at halftime of the prime game? Like, he wants a steak, and it's got to be, like, prepped
steak,
properly.
Steak, baked potato,
like,
man, I'm in. Steak, baked potato, I'm in. Sign me up for that. If you told me that in the middle of our show every Friday at noon, we just had steak. Oh,
and a baked potato.
Please.
Yes, is that a fan club Friday?
Yeah, we just had every Friday at 1 o'clock, there's a filet ready to roll. Hell yeah.
Honestly, it would go great with these whiskey cocktails we've been making lately.
Oh, yeah.
It would feel very,
very good.
We'll do cigars, too. You know what? Just really, really smell. Could you imagine?
Cigar smoking here? Way back in the day, you could now with the equipment at LA. Way, way, way back. That's people were on the radio and smoking while they were running the board. Imagine Drew back there with a cigarette right now. Gross.
I've never smoked
a
thing in my life.
This. I've smoked a cigar.
We've talked about that. Yeah, I don't smoke. Never have.
But I've never smoked a cigarette. I didn't say I've never smoked anything.
Have you smoked a cigar?
Yeah. I have smoked a cigar. Not a bunch. I've a handful. I don't know.
Some said Al would knock Cody's ass right out of the ring. That right punch.
Ah, that would be
right
that
hook.
Would be
right hook.
No. This is the thing that's hilarious. Is as
I uppercut Al Michaels into oblivion.
That's what I was about to say. Cody would look like the worst person out of all this because you would legitimately be fighting him because you don't think you should be broadcasting anymore.
Let's go and get Al Michaels on the show. let's talk this one out. I'm sure he'd love to come on the show. Yeah, I'm sure he would just love
after
it.
After all this,
would he call Cody a sissy like Terry Bradshaw did?
Bradshaw. Now that's not a fight I'm necessarily trying to pick. Romanowski's still ducking.
You'd rather fight Romanowski
by the way, Bradshaw
than Terry Bradshaw.
Bradshaw's actually worse on television than, like, not even Al Michaels is way sharper. Terry Bradshaw is, like, he probably shouldn't be on TV anymore. Yeah.
I mean, and again, sometimes
he's in his last year, isn't he?
And but I think I'm still talking to Alex because the sissy guy hadn't said a word yet.
That's an all-time
It's still unbelievable that he said that.
Terry
I wasn't
Bradshaw.
Here for that, but that's crazy.
Yeah. We
Four-time
had him on the show.
Super Bowl champion, Terry Bradshaw, just saying... Right out, of the, sissy man.
Right out of the gate, he said that. He was on hold, and he heard us talking, and first thing he said, is that still Alex? Because I hadn't heard
Holy
the sissy
cow.
Boy.
Yeah, and then I said, no, I'm still here. I've been asking you questions. There he is!
That's right.
That man, part what of the is. Hell I did.
And then later in the interview, remember, he was yelling about, like, he was asking his wife, what's the barbecue place in Kansas City? And he was yelling in the background to his wife, and then she shouted, Joe's Kansas City!
That was a great,
yeah.
a fun time. I'd love to have Terry back on, you know?
Anyway.
Great time.
So let's go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we can make our official Super Bowl predictions coming up here in just a minute, the teams we see coming out of the AFC and the NFC. It's a fundamental thing of sports radio. We understand we will be wrong. We already showed you how wrong we were in trying to predict divisions and other things. But at first, you mentioned the arbitration stuff, and it's worth at least mentioning on the show. The Royals had 6 ARB-eligible players, 4 of which, including Michael Massey and some others, got their deals all locked up, so they agreed to an ARB number that both the team and the player could agree to. There are 2 players left who are in the middle of arbitration agreements. They are Vinny Pasquantino and Chris Bubich. Before you panic, because I get it. Vinny's made it very clear. I think he would like an extension from the Royals, or at least that's my sense of it. And the last time we had JJ Piccolo on the show, he didn't seem like he was in a real big hurry to be handing out an extension following the one with Mikel Garcia, because you specifically asked, now that Mikel is done, what would that look like for Vinny? And I would say his tenor on that sided on the not in a hurry side of things. So that might be complicating it a little bit with it. But the truth is they're $500,000 apart, and this happens all the time. And I don't think they're going to actually sit in that arbitration meeting and say mean things to each other because it is an awkward process. They'll get it done before they ever go to that meeting. And they'll settle somewhere between the $4 million the Royals want to pay Vinny and the $4.5 million that Vinny Pasquantino wants. They're not $15 million apart like they are with Tarek Skubal.
No, I know it. Yeah, from the outside, it's very easy to be like, dude, just he's at $4.5 million, you're at $4 million. Just pay him the $4.5 million. What's the big deal? But that's just not how the arbitration hearings typically go. And I think they will get, you know, I think they will get it done before the hearing as well. So I get the sentiment where it's like, why couldn't you guys have figured it out before it even got to this point? And that's fair. That doesn't mean that they're working on an extension. Does it mean that one side is, wants an extension and that's why they're dragging this out longer? Who knows? I don't know the circumstances. I think both will get resolved and it'll be just fine.
Yeah, I'm not a million and a half a million. I'm just, again, there are teams and there's been times under Dayton Moore. And I don't think that J.J. Piccolo follows everything Dayton Moore did. He's already operated significantly different than Dayton did. But to this point, the one thing J.J. has been doing is not actually going to arbitration. Because I've had that meeting described to me in great detail by front office members of the Royals before. It is the most nail-ripping, gutting thing to do. You sit in a room and you tell them all the reasons they're not worth the money they're asking for. And what we're talking about typically is the difference between $4 and $6 million. So to try to save $2 million with this arbiter, you got to be in there and be like, Vinny chases sliders. He's been hurt or whatever you want to say. And just some things might not even be true. Just not worth that experience for a player that is a very good leader for you. I'd still give any an extension. I made that very clear.
Yeah,
the team's not in a hurry and you don't have to do it. They have control, so they're not in a rush. There are intangible parts in addition to what he does in the middle of the order that I'd pay him. I'd give him the extension. But I understand that they don't have to based on his current contract situation.
I totally understand it. And like we've always said, not my money. I'd give him an extension as well. But I totally get why. If, in fact, they don't, I totally understand why. I mean, the nature of the baseball business with how much control they have on him because of how long, you know, he was older when he got called up. It allows them to play it out this way where he can still get raises, but he doesn't get the long-term financial security that you always want from a long-term deal. And so I hear where you're coming from. I've told you for the last year or so, and look, we have Vinny on the show, so it's no secret. We're big fans of Vinny.
I'm biased. I get an open bias.
I get why if they ultimately choose not to ever give him an extension, I totally understand why, though, from their side of things. It is not like some, you know, atrocity. You know, I totally get knowing that they have him for another 3-4 years.
They can ride out a huge chunk of his prime, go through this arbitration process, pay him a bunch of money, and he'll make way more money as the years go on. This is just the top. He'll make maybe $4.5 million this year. That's septupling his salary from last year. I get it. And then if he has another 30 home run, 100 RBI season, he'll make $8 or $9 million. So he'll get himself raises through performance. For me, it's just, and this is the argument I would make to the Royals, not that they're going to listen to me on extensions or anything like that. The reason why the Royals are, when they're just like a miserably bad team, it's because they don't have any starting pitching, and I understand that. So when they can't pitch, when they're just 60 wins and have no chance, the reason why they've come up short as a team that has been near the playoffs or in the playoffs is because they can't hit.
Right.
They went dormant to sleep when they lost Vinny. Vinny is too valuable of a hitter for a team that doesn't have enough hitters, is just kind of my opinion.
Sure, but they're not losing him by not. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Like they can. Saying it can be true, and they don't have to give an extension.
I also think he's really liked in the clubhouse, and he's a valuable leader.
No doubt.
And while Bobby Witt Jr. is the face of the franchise, I think Vinny is more the heart. And so, like, when you, as far as like the clubhouse goes, he's the face.
The vocal leader far more. Yeah. His personality fits that. Not everybody can, you know, guys lead in different ways.
Bubic, I'm a little surprised they're a million apart, but I guess, Bubic's trying to get paid on what he could possibly do, not what he has done. Unfortunately for him, his career reminds me, and not just because he's a lefty and tall, his career reminds me so much of Danny Duffy's. Every time Chris Bubic pitches, I'm like, wow, that guy can really pitch. Is he pitching today? And because when he does pitch and is available,
that's the health question.
Guy can throw.
Yeah, it's all about
but
health.
But yeah, for Bubic, my question is not ability. My question is, can he be on a baseball field all the time consistently? And when it's that, I'm okay and I understand and I'm good and I get it. But when it's not that, those are the only questions. I also think he might be in the trade market. This is short and we don't want to get way too into it, but next week maybe we can talk about it.
Chris Bubic,
Chris Bubic. Yeah. Based on the current market that people are getting for either paying starting pitchers in the free agent market or what they're getting in trades, the Royals still need to use that excess of starting pitching and help their outfield.
I agree. I've told you, we've had these conversations. I mean, I think still, you know, he's got 5 years of team control, but if you're not willing to trade Chris Bubic, I think Noah Cameron potentially has an immense amount of value given the control. Now, that's also why you would want to keep him. I get that. He's valuable for a reason.
Yeah.
But those would be the two names I'd be willing to trade, either Bubic or Noah Cameron. I would not trade Cole Reagans. I wouldn't. But Bubic is tricky. It sounds like there's more of a market for him than we realize, because I thought the injury and not finishing the season would have caused that to make, you know, to be more challenging to trade Chris Bubic and what interest there is out there. And it sounds like there's more than we thought. Whereas Cole Reagans, at least, while he had an injury, he finished the season, I think, pitched 3 games and looked like his old self in
like
a good
Cole
way,
Reagans.
Right? Like, so we'll see how it plays out. You know, we're still only January 9th. I mean, there absolutely could be more action.
The guys probably aren't even in Arizona yet. So, like, it's plenty early for those kind of conversations. Just
I need to get out there. I need to get out there at some point.
Just worthy
Arizona.
Of looking.
You've been there for spring training plenty
it's fun.
Of times. Yeah,
yeah plenty. It's I mean, on I the went list. There for 6 weeks, the year I did, World's Insider.
We've gotten to do a lot of cool things. That's one thing I haven't gone to before.
Fans hated
spring training. Fans hated you?
Mm-hmm. My year, 1 year of Royals Insider.
What'd you do?
Was mired. I wasn't Vern. That's what I did. I wasn't Josh Vernier.
I mean, Vern's great.
You know what I did? I wasn't Josh Vernier. Josh Vernier had been with him every day, every night.
Vern's phenomenal.
Through two World Series trips, through a World Series win. Vern was there. Side by side every night. And then I was there, and they were winning 58 games.
That's your fault.
And getting their teeth kicked in.
Definitely your fault.
Probably wasn't. I was a different style. They did not like me.
Thinking of Vern, we mentioned it. Don't forget, Royals Rally is coming up at the end of the month on the 31st. Vern will be broadcasting from Royals Rally, 9 to noon. He'll have front office guests, player guests, so you don't want to miss that. Before long, Vern's hot stove shows, all that kind of stuff will be rolling here before we know it.
All right, who are your official picks to make it to the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl? This has been the lowest pressure one of these we have done in some time. Every year, I just blanketly say, the Chiefs will be in the Super Bowl, and they'll be playing blank.
Yeah.
If you're going to make me predict them to win or lose, I'm going to predict them to win. Yeah. Chiefs win the Super Bowl. That's pretty much how it's been every year you and I have been on this show.
Right.
That has essentially been my prediction, and I've been right more often than I've been wrong. So I'll let you start now that there are no Chiefs and we're starting from scratch.
I'll stick with where I was a month or so ago because I still feel pretty good about the path. Rams Patriots Super Bowl.
Rams Patriots.
Yep.
Rematch of the 20.
Yeah, it's a rematch of the Super Bowl.
I forget whatever year that was. 2018?
I was tempted by the Patriots. I just decided when I was looking through the AFC field that it wasn't going to end up being a team who hadn't really experienced the playoffs in any particular way, which is why I also didn't end up on Denver. And instead, I ended up with the Jags. Jags on the AFC side, Seattle on the NFC side.
Seahawks, Jags.
So, look, the truth is, I think the Jags are going down tomorrow. Well, and look, I think it could just as easily be, if it were Eagles-Patriots, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Right,
like, genuinely, that would probably be my second selection. I think the Eagles have the best roster. The only advantage I'm giving Seattle is they have a very good roster. They'll get to be from home, and they'll get to avoid the Eagles at least
a
while.
That's huge.
So the Eagles could still slip up sometime before the NFC title game, which I think at least Seattle will get to that. And so that's why I'm giving Seattle the edge at least there. So Seattle Jags, a real barn burner. It's honestly wishful thinking, if we're being honest. They'll both lose. Seattle's
been underrated all year, undervalued, I should say, you know, all year. And it would not stun me if they get there. I agree with the number one seed situation. I just think, you tell me the Rams beat the Panthers, they end up going, let's say, to Seattle. I think they're one of the few teams that can beat Seattle in Seattle.
Yeah, I agree. Just based on the way they're set up, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think what's weird is, I don't think there's a really bad answer you can give to this unless you tell me Panthers-Steelers.
Yeah, yeah.
That might be the only answer. I'm like, hey, we're giving real picks here, not telling jokes.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I don't think you can say two teams that sound absurd. Drew, what are your two?
You and I did not talk about this at all before the show, but Cody and I have the exact
Jacks?
Same.
I gotta change mine. This is no good.
Because Drew has them, you don't trust him even less.
Who did you say you have winning it?
Oh, I didn't say that. Seattle. Sam Darnold gets a Super Bowl.
I have the Rams. Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence.
I'll go with the Rams.
Go Jaguars. I like Trevor Lawrence more than you two, I think. I think that there's something about this team that feels familiar to just watching. I know that they'd already been to the playoffs and stuff like that, but just watching, you know, the Bengals from that run, it feels like the Jags kind of fit that where they're hosting a game. And they can pull off a bit of a run here. So I'm taking Jacksonville.
Okay. Jacksonville.
You don't have to change your pick now because you and I don't have the exact same thing.
Look, I could be talking. There is a part of me that thinks Ross Tucker and Briscoe are right in the sense that the winner of Bills Jags just feels like the best team remaining in the playoffs by a wide margin. The Bills win, they're going to go to Denver. Most likely, right? Because we don't think the Chargers are going to win. The Bills can go to Denver and win. Are you kidding? Cool. The Bills can absolutely go
they
to Denver.
They did it last year in the playoffs.
Josh Allen versus Bo Nix in a playoff game. They can absolutely
go to
Denver.
Can they win three in a row on the road? That's the tricky part.
But that's the Jags part that's the hang-up. Yeah. The getting past Denver part actually doesn't scare me. And then in the final matchup, they'd be taking on New England or, I guess in that case, who'd be the Texans, let's say. The winner of New England
and
the Texans.
Steelers, yeah.
And so, like, I don't, another matchup that they definitely can win. And so they just won in New England. And so, like, there's part of me that really does think that those guys might be onto something.
This is all why that pressure's on Josh Allen, too. It's all why that pressure's on Josh Allen. Because you can convince yourself, it doesn't matter who it is, one seed, whoever. the Bills can absolutely win every single game that they have against any of these teams in the AFC. And then when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen, then you should expect to win all of those and make that run, even though they're the sixth seed.
The only question I have about the Rams is consistency defensively. Like, they're not, they're good defense.
Pass rush is good. Corners are a little questionable.
Jared versus.
Yeah.
So again, tomorrow we've got, we all have the Rams winning against the Panthers. I have the Packers winning. You have the Bears winning. Drew has the Packers winning. Yep. And then on Sunday, I have the Bills. You have the Jags. Drew, you have the Bills.
No, Jags.
Well, yeah, Jags. Yeah, Super Bowl. Duh.
Yeah.
And then Eagles, we all have the Eagles winning against the Niners.
Whoever the Bills play, I have the other
team.
And
we all have the Patriots beating the Chargers.
I'll have the Patriots.
And I have the Steelers beating the Texans.
I have the Texans.
I have the Steelers beating the
Texans. I did flip on that one yesterday. I was originally on the Steelers, and I altered my plan. See?
Taylor being a Steelers fan made me shake my head. I can't stand the Steelers. It's frustrating.
But think
the team is annoying.
The only thing that fears me, even though this is a like no pressure playoffs in the sense the Chiefs aren't in it, so you don't have to sweat every game. I deeply, deeply fear like a Broncos, Eagles, Patriots.
Who are you rooting for in that game? If it's Broncos, Eagles, Super Bowl.
Based on the list, it would be the Broncos.
I mean, what do you mean?
Broncos are number one on my list, though.
Based on the list, Cody would be rooting for the Broncos.
He would be.
I
guess I'd be rooting for the smug Nick Sirianni.
Is that the position you want to be in?
Gross.
I really hate to tell Chiefs fans this, but I would be rooting for the Broncos probably to win that game. But I really wouldn't care.
I don't know what to make of that.
I really don't care.
You never want a division team to win the Super Bowl. Sorry. You never want a team in your division.
Facts.
You just don't want that. It's not good for you. It's not healthy. Let the NFC team win.
It's not a healthy place to be for a Chiefs fan to watch that game.
Nobody's going to be starting up. Nobody's going to be starting up. Is Jalen Hurts better than Mahomes conversation? So if they win, they win.
That would be a stretch, I think.
One day their roster.
Drew wants Josh Allen to lose tomorrow because he's convinced that.
I don't care who he.
Josh Allen loses tomorrow, that Joe Burrow's better. Just doesn't calculate.
It's better to make the playoffs than to not make the playoffs.
I understand that. But if they lose and Josh Allen does not look good, the whole talk around the incredible nature of Josh Allen and look at what he does and he can carry it, all of that is gone.
But he wins the Super Bowl, and that conversation between him and Burrow is dead.
He's still the second best quarterback in football.
If he wins the Super Bowl, yes, the conversation's dead. I agree.
Between him and Burrow?
I will openly admit that if they win the Super Bowl, it's dead.
All right.
And Josh Allen, it can be considered better than Joe Burrow.
Hope you guys have a great weekend. Plenty on tap. Monday, we'll be reacting not only to a national title game picture that it will be clear, and then, of course, what happens all weekend long in the NFL. We'll talk to you Monday.